Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is December 27th, 2023. Our last AEW Dynamite post show for the year here on Fightful. If you are new to Fightful, we're here pretty well every night except for, you know, this week. Monday we have Raw. Tuesday we have NXT. Wednesday it is here on AEW. Thursday, it is ROH and Impact. Friday, it is usually SmackDown. Saturday is Collision or a pay-per-view. And usually on Sunday, there's something going on. In addition to that, you get news shows every week as well, like Grapsody, The Spotlight, and the Hump, which today was preempted for the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast, where I read your Super Chats and Humper Chats. And guess what? We do that on all the shows. If you want your questions or statement read here on Fightful at youtube.com/Fightful, get in your super chats here at YouTube or go over to humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs platform that allows you to get your questions, your statements in a little bit earlier. And you can leave them for Saturday's show. If you want them read for Grapsody this Saturday afternoon, you can leave them there as well. But all kinds of fun stuff. World's End this Saturday. I'll be doing a solo show, but this fella over here will be on Fightful Select.
Yep.
You know, it's our exclusive news service. And some of you might say, well, I'm never paying $5, even though it's dirt cheap for news. I'm not going to pay $5 for wrestling news. Well, guess what? We have over 40 podcasts a month over there, including a preview show and a review show on Fightful Select. Maybe you hate me and you want to listen to this guy instead. FightfulSelect.com, best way to support us. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to World's End. Kate will be at the show, so okay. I'm going to be trying to get the services of Alexis Cardoza, who does the SmackDown show with her. We've done stuff in the past. Have a really good rapport. It's AA, not Arn Anderson. It's Alex and Alex, and so hopefully we'll be able to get that done on Saturday for you guys. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. This is a lot of really great stuff. The card looks positively stacked, including some matches they just threw at us tonight. And I'm like, I'll take that as well. Thank you.
As we talk about the show, we will be bringing you the odds according to betonline.ag, our new partner. I am so excited to work with them. I've been trying to nail down that deal for quite a long time. Kate can attest to that. I wanted to do business with Bet Online because, quite frankly, anytime you have ever seen odds on Fightful, they were already from Bet Online. Like, that's already where I got my odds from. So it's natural that we are doing a little bit of business together. So we'll be giving you those as it relates to World's End as well. But if you are a longtime subscriber of Fightful, we've got some exciting stuff for you coming in 2024. We have, you know, long done interviews. We have long done news videos and podcasts as well as reviews. I'm going to be doing some more like sit down videos and some more long form videos as well. We have a great video editor who's been doing some stuff for us, and we're going to dip our toes a little bit into that, kind of see how that works. But I think you guys are really going to like some of the things that are coming to youtube.com/Fightful. I know that we push our paywall a lot, but hey, we have more free YouTube and audio content and more free articles than literally any other wrestling website that exists. And we are very, very proud of that. And I want to thank you guys for helping support us through 2023 and into 2024. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, who is going to be here. He's got your super chats and got your humper chats all queued up. But we're just a few days away from World's End. Had the Continental Classic Finals, and we started off with the triple threat match tonight. Now, this was the one I was pretty sure that I knew the result just wasn't going to be Swerve getting pinned or Swerve winning.
Right.
He was, I don't want to say a non-factor, because he was a huge part of this match, an incredible match. But we'll talk about the Keith Lee thing after this. We had posted some news on Fightful Select about that. But the Jon Moxley winning aspect of this, we now know Eddie Kingston will also be involved, which we'll talk about right after this match as well. The finals are going to be Moxley and Eddie Kingston, which is such a built-in story already with this. But they had an absolute humper to kick off AEW Dynamite, Alex.
Yeah, they did. It was a great triple threat. The psychology of it was totally sound. One extended, you know, quote unquote nap on the outside was Jay White. But he was hobbling after some stuff that had been done to him. I love him barely staying ambulatory while dragging a chair over to where Moxley was going to put Swerve through a table. This was a really, really great match. And yes, you're right. Moxley pinning Jay White is the way this kind of, I think, kind of had to go. And I won't say had to go. I'm saying you get to do this because they were very smart about lining up Swerve via the Keith Lee stuff. For like, Swerve doesn't win the Continental Classic, but he's still on the pape. That guy's got to be on the card because he's white hot. And we get a finish and angle that we should have finished 2 years ago. But it's been resurrected. Everybody remembers how much they wanted that match when the angle was hot. So let's just rekindle that fire a little bit. And you know Swerve and Keith Lee are going to go out there and have a great match out of it. So because Swerve had something else to do and Moxley really didn't, I feel like you have Mox win the tournament, go on, do the C2, and Swerve gets just to pivot to do that or anything. But I thought the match was excellent. Mox gets his win back on Jay White, who pinned him last week. So they each got a win on each other in the past 2 weeks. That also kind of evens out.
I feel like you kind of educate the audience on the tiebreaker as well, because each of these three men's had wins over each other. Eddie Kingston beat Andrade, which is why he got in as well. I love the curb stomp breaking up the pin after the 450. Every time Swerve does that hesitation kick, I'm like, I swear to God, he just clocked the guy, and it looks so good.
Yeah,
every single time.
The house call breaking up the bulldog choke was a great moment. Yeah. Like, it was really good stuff.
Swerve he's the man. Right now, Swerve is the man, and we're about to talk about the Keith Lee aspect of this after this, but everybody loves Swerve. And if there's one thing that I think that wrestling companies in general need to do better, Yeah. It's to strike while the iron is hot. Mm-hmm. Because if you strike while the iron is hot, I think you keep that iron hot a little bit longer. And if you don't, that being said, Swerve is not happy that he's not factored in here, but he's like, I didn't get beat. There's a guy that's been saying my name for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Keith Lee, where are you at? Well, Keith Lee isn't there. He's just not there. Even though Tony Schiavone awkwardly said he was, but he said if he missed you, I just don't think he was there. Otherwise, they would have just had him show up. I love how this got set up where Keith Lee was like, I'm looking for him. I want him. And Shane Taylor said, oh, well, here I am. And Keith said, cool. Yeah, I'm good with that. Then
I'll fight you, but you're not him.
Then beats him. Nope, that wasn't him.
Yeah.
Brian Cage, you're not him either. Yeah. But Swerve knows who it was. And you had mentioned this last week about how Prince and I was like, oh, and hey, by the way. So somebody brought up a very good point to me. While I do think that this happened far longer way than when it should have. If it does happen 9 months ago or 10 months ago, we are talking about Swerve with Trench and Parker.
Yeah.
Being involved here. Mm-mm. This to me is sort of a happy accident type of thing. Where should it have happened a long time ago? Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But you know what? We are getting it now as it probably should have been presented all along, where Swerve is ascending into the main event.
Yeah.
And Keith Lee is great, but it is so very clear that Swerve is the guy.
Yeah.
It is just abundantly clear.
Yeah.
It's gotta be him.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be
Swerve. Him. I appreciate Lee being the one to be like, all right, I'm tired of waiting. I'm coming after you. Here's a contract. Sign it. Meet me on Saturday. And Swerve's like, oh, yeah, bet. Let's do it. And I feel like this is one of those, I don't know, like there some really long-running television series where like there'll be a loose thread after season three, and you're waiting for that to pick up in season four, and it just doesn't. But then at the end of season six, oh, crap, that dude we haven't seen in 3 years just showed up. Now it's on. You know, like that's what this feels like. And I think that Swerve kind of needs to beat Keith Lee during his ascendance to being the guy. I think the match is going to be amazing. I have no illusions. Swerve needs to win this. Had they had the match right after they broke up, you could have tossed a coin, honestly, but Swerve is on a trajectory now that you cannot slow down. So I'm very excited for that match.
Very excited for it. It makes a lot of sense to do it now as well. You've got to do it. You have to do it at this point. And I just think that it fits in perfect because coming out of the
Did I get lost or did you get lost? Am I gone or are you gone?
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Me.
Do you? You're frozen, but I can barely, I hear you? Nope. Yeah, there you go. All right. How you going? Hi. Oh, well, so Sean's gone, but we're, I'm here still. So, hey, there he is.
I'm back. Funny enough, I forgot to hook up to NordVPN.
Oh, see, that's the problem.
Forgot to, and that's what I'm going to be doing right now to prevent any of these issues happening again. Our wonderful sponsor, NordVPN.com/fight. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. So we've got the Keith Lee swerve match set for World's End. We do not have lines for that yet. I'm sure BetOnline AG will have those probably by tomorrow. And by the time the preview show with Stephanie Chase runs as well. But we do know the finals of the Continental Classic. It will be Eddie Kingston against John Moxley, as Eddie Kingston defeats Bryan Danielson. And you know what? I think that Eddie Kingston making it to the finals is the right move, because he's the one that's putting everything on the line. He's the one that is putting his New Japan title and his ROH title on the line. And what he's always wanted a tournament like this, but hasn't been able necessarily to make that happen in the States till now. And now it is happening.
Yeah.
I love that he is in the finals. I love that he's in the finals with John Moxley. What'd you think of the match?
Oh, the match was great. And it was one of those things of, as I said, with Swerve needing to beat Keith Lee to reach that next stage of his career in AEW. Just because that's a loose end, it's something more than that for Eddie Kingston, like Danielson being that guy that he needed to beat to prove to himself. This is the thing that I love. And we'll talk more about the post-match promo after this, but the fact that Eddie doesn't need to prove anything to us, we know he can do it. Eddie needs to prove it to Eddie. And that's the whole thing, is that's why we love Eddie so much, is because he's that guy. He is, to coin a phrase, as he did tonight, the King of the Bums. And
if they don't have that on a shirt by Saturday, him wearing it out there.
Yeah. He's the King of the Bums. But it's the perfect thing for him. We love Eddie so much. We are rooting for Eddie so badly. We finally slayed his personal beast in Claudio to become ROH champion. In order to remain ROH champion or even have a shot at it, he's got to slay that same beast again, Claudio, which he did, and overcome a dragon in finally beating Danielson. And now he's got to kill his brother in John Moxley. It's a brilliant, like, old, like, Shakespearean play of Eddie Kingston, the pauper king, who must eventually overcome all of these obstacles to fully maintain his throne. It's I can't wait for it, man.
So this is kind of where I roll in some of the Fightful Select news stories of the past week into this segment. Before we even get to the Moxley aspect. Well, I mean, we're talking about the Moxley aspect because he calls himself King of the Bums, does Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. We had reported over the last month and a half in general, QT Marshall out of the company, hasn't been backstage, is what we reported on FightfulSelect.com last week. Obviously, his vision was different than AEW's. Raphael Morphy, who, quite frankly, was responsible for booking a lot of the venues in which weren't getting filled up and a lot of the promotion associated, he'll be moving on to Barclays. Dana Massey, the wife of Matt Jackson, who headed up the merchandise department, which needed a lot of work in general. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about her personally, just so you know, before people get incredibly weird because of her last name. Heard nothing but wonderful things about her personally, but it is very clear the merchandise department in AEW is lacking from a live event standpoint, from a product standpoint. Everything you see these people wearing should be for sale on like I had mentioned this on the hump today, the Hogan sunglasses and Savage bandanas and all that stuff. Those used to be for sale. The NWO shirts, all that stuff. You should have your MJF scarves. You should have your Orange Cassidy glasses. You should have, by Saturday, Eddie Kingston with a designed King of Bums, like the Roots of Fight style shirt, ready, and then have a graphic up that says, you can buy this at Pro Wrestling Tees. Mm-hmm. Should absolutely have that done. That is an area where, you know, a lot of people that don't really care about the direction of AEW want to say, well, they're not growing. They're not growing. Well, you know what? Yes, 800,000 on a television show weekly is what a lot of networks want. But there are definite areas where they can grow. I have long thought that it should be important to get asses in the seats. And the method we have at Fightful Select is, well, this place is $12.99. This place is $9.99. We'll get you in the door with $5. And we will give you so much for that amount that you will hopefully become invested in everything else that we do. And hopefully you'll speak about it. I think that's what AEW should do. I think that they should reduce their ticket prices, get a ton of asses in the seats, make lifelong fans, and cultivate to a different type of fan, an underserved fan. Yeah. A fan that can't afford to go to some other shows, or, you know, a fan that, you know, how much it would cost to take like a family of four or five to a show. It'd be insane, especially if you buy the tickets as soon as they go on.
Right.
Serve the underserved. And then when you get to the venue, you need a robust selection of merchandise.
Yeah.
You need all of that stuff. You need to give them reasons to have an unforgettable experience. That way, when you come back in 7, 8, 9 months, it is an unmissable experience. Right. Even if the tickets are a little bit more expensive than they were last time.
Yeah.
A little bit more of an experience. And I think that's important. And I'm not going to say not having a King of the Bums shirt or not is going to make me go, damn, they're going to change or not. Right. But they definitely should just look at this and say, we need to jump on this.
Right. I think a line of you know, budget masks for kids, Sting, Danhausen, Darby with a half mask, Penta, like some
Thunder
of the
Rosa.
The Thunder Rosa, like a whole line of these things you could just wear with a little this string around the back that connects it, like those old Halloween masks, and sell them for really cheap because you can make them for a nickel. So sell them for a couple of bucks, and all the kids will be wearing them. That'll be a really fun thing to like to do for to get the families to have a good time doing it. It's something you could do very easily.
And somebody's saying, I'm not sure the demand is there, regardless of ticket price. That is objectively not true. Look at the ticket sales for Greensboro. Look at the increase that they've seen recently. Yeah. And also, You can't say you're not you, that the demand isn't there, regardless of ticket prices. If you don't,
right?
Yeah. Can you clear up the Swerve song lyric situation? No, because I don't know that much about it. I was told to listen to the whole song, and when I heard about it, I said, "You know what? I am not qualified to speak on such a thing." So
there you go.
It is not a subject in which I have a great amount of expertise in. So I opt to shut the fuck up during situations like that. Eddie Kingston, John Moxley. I love this as the Continental Classic Finals. I think you've got the story there. When I went to Daly's Place for Double or Nothing, first show coming out of the pandemic, Eddie Kingston, after have been like sort of a heel for a while, getting that major babyface pop made me be like, all right,
yeah,
we're starting to heal a little bit. Mm-hmm. I thought that was important. I thought that was very, very cool. And it's come full circle.
Yeah, this post-match promo from Moxley coming out and be like, man, I don't know why you're so down on yourself. Everybody loves you. Listen to these people. Everybody loves Eddie Kingston. You know what I mean? And like, stop moping around, and you better bring everything you got. Because anything less than that is not even going to put a dent in me. When you got that title shot against me, I let you die a warrior's death. I'm not doing the same thing again. And Eddie being like, no, you can't young boy bitch me. Like, I am the king of the bums. I'm coming for you. I'm going to, what was the line that he said? And he was like, that's my outline, Topher. Like, I don't, whatever it was a great outline. I forget what it is. Cause the last thing he said, where he called the sound guy from in the ring, just popped me like crazy. Oh man. I love it.
We've got Jamal saying, this is what happens when you use Kate's Wi-Fi. Very clever.
Yeah, there you go.
No international championship match Saturday is sad, says Maddie Nice. Well, we don't know that yet.
Not yet.
We don't know that as of yet, because he being Orange Cassidy, pretty well just accepted a challenge from Top Flight and Action Andretti, and it's going to be him against Orange Cassidy, or them against Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice. Mm-hmm. Rocky Romero is just like bamboozled by the whole situation, which I like. But as of now, there are only 10 matches confirmed for World's End, and that seems about five light.
Including like three on the 0 hour. So like they could easily add something on Friday.
Sawyer says, I was at that Double or Nothing. The Eddie Pop remains one of my favorite wrestling memories. It was incredible. It was incredible. That was such a fun show to be at live as well. We've got Misfit Wrestling Podcast saying, I still prefer Jay White finding his way back to New Japan, and I feel like this is his loophole, or this was the loophole. You know, I think in the future, him winning that Triple Crown is a nice loophole as well.
Yeah.
Jamal says, also, Action Andretti drinking that water. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I've seen that before in like YouTube, like stunt video things. I always thought it was like trick photography, but that did not look like photography tonight. So I don't know how you do that. I can't, this is going to sound really bad. I can't swallow that fast or that much at a time.
Jamal says, what do they do with Jay White from here? Hopefully have him drink water with Action Andretti.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, unfortunately Juice is sidelined right now, and I wouldn't mind seeing Jay White win this battle royal for a future AEW TNT title match, honestly.
Whenever he wants one.
Yes.
Like, if Edge, excuse me, Adam Copeland, were to beat Christian, like, Jay White could run in and do the Edge thing and cash in a title shot right at that moment. That's he could honestly do it. That'd be kind of cool. To like start Adam Copeland versus Jay White thing coming out of this, that might be fun.
Dong Fallis says licensing for DMX or licensing DMX for Eddie, no brainer. What gives? I mean, I think they're confident with the theme that he has. But, you know, also, you never know what artists or their estate in this case, what they're willing to do. For example, the Orange Cassidy thing, the Jefferson Starship, they didn't want to provide that at an affordable rate. And then they saw the Pixies and all the publicity that they got. Because let me tell you, whenever not only do these artists get a ton of money from this, relatively speaking, for a song like Where Is My Mind was not being heavily used at that point, but they are creating a new fan base of thousands. Yep. They're getting a lot more downloads, which doesn't exactly equate to much, but you know what? There are a whole lot of people that discover this band via wrestling, and Jefferson Starship came back with a much more realistic price. And Matt Kuhn, who would know this type of thing, says Def Jam would charge a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of Orange Cassidy, I'm remembering the pitch that I threw out on the Collision Post show on Select last weekend. They don't have a lot of matches, as you said, and Orange Cassidy isn't having to do. And it does feel like him who's accepting challenges from everybody right now, being like Rene Paquette backstage with Orange Cassidy. You asked for this time. It's like, yeah, I don't have anything to do tonight, so I'm just going to go to the ring, and anybody wants to come down there and have a match with me, let's do a title match right now. And what if the guy who answers that is Mustafa Ali, who is embarking on an international world tour? Yeah. And if he were to win that belt and take it with him to all of these dates all over the place, how much prestige that would raise for the title belt and for all those stops. So maybe.
I could also see him approaching literally anybody who is doing an interview with Renee. Right. And before they can even say anything, sure, he just approaches and he goes, "Shut up already. You've got your title shot."
Yes.
And there you go. Speaking of FTW championship match, the Bet Online AG odds have Hook as a massive -1500 favorite over Wheeler Yuta +600. For those of you who don't know how those odds work, if you were to bet $100 and the underdog Wheeler Yuta wins, you would win $1,600.
Yeah.
You would need to bet $1,500 for the massive favorite Hook to win for you to get $100. That's how those lines work. I think those lines are probably right. I don't think Wheeler Yuta is going to win the FTW title unless it's some massive swerve.
I don't think so.
And also, I think that maybe considering the fact you're about to do a triple crown, having Wheeler Yuta walk out of there with probably two titles, you don't want to do that as well.
Yeah.
What is next? We got more super chats. Alan Jeanette says, felt like the interview for Swerve after that match could have potentially been his Austin 316 moment and built the momentum for the championship. Yeah, I kind of would have liked it if they just came back after the break and Swerve was still in the ring. And then Keith Lee just trotted out there.
Yeah.
And he's like, sign the contract, and then you did it.
Right.
But Bizarro Big L says, I have a feeling this Keith Lee Swerve match is leading to Shane Taylor Promotions backing up Keith Lee against the Mogul Embassy. The numbers and beef and always make sense. Swerve can pursue the title while Cage, Toa, Shane, and Keith all beat the meat.
It certainly wouldn't be the weirdest turn that we've seen this week. So
there you go. And I agree with that. And let's go ahead and talk about that. Don Callis family is celebrating Boxing Week. I am painfully uninterested in Don Callis right now.
Well, they didn't do a lot to build on. Like they had that match with where Will Hobbs slammed the Big Show on the hood of a car and all that other stuff. And they just didn't do anything with them afterwards. There was a lot of heat leading up to that. And then
Takeshita beat Omega like two or three times.
And that was like, prior to that. And then he lost to Jericho. So they kind of, you know.
And that was sort of what Sammy Guevara said when Sammy came out and got a pop.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it. Not interested in it. Beyond Mel Coleman's wonderful art that she does.
That's the art was amazing. I loved all, like Don with the Yakuza tats and the one with Big Take.
Yeah.
That was great. but like I've never seen a guy get so angry because somebody painted a picture of him and his child.
He was very angry.
Very angry at that. Like, yes. Yeah.
I need a counter of all the Sammy turns.
Yeah. Because the one where he turned on Jericho was like, you talk about it being built for so long of like, you always stand in my way. I'm there to help you out all the time. You'd never repay the favor. It is time for me to go out on my own. And while doing that, I might as well align myself with your mortal enemy, Don Callis. And now he's back and he's angry at Don for commissioning a painting of himself and his infant. And he's so angry about it, he's going to punch him in the face and get beaten down. And Jericho runs out to even the odds. Oh, now it's 2-on-5. And therefore, Jericho wins.
It was a sincerely wonderful piece of art. It was a thoughtful gift.
It was beautiful.
Could he have done it in a more private setting? For sure.
Perhaps.
But like, it was an objectively thoughtful gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
it was.
So that's the thing that I was like, okay. Oh, did you get the gift for the kid? No. But that was like a really, really nice commissioned gift.
Right.
That he was provided. Force of Will says, getting involved with Jericho isn't a loop. It's a spiral. Specifically, a whirlpool nobody can escape from. And it's like Callis is addicted to the shit, man. It's like he can't, he doesn't want to escape it. Get your CDs out of Chris Jericho's truck and leave, brother. Stop it. Let's go.
Don Callis had nothing to do with this. Like, they beat up Sammy and Jericho ran out to save his friend who the last time he saw him hated his guts.
Then Sting shows up. What?
Sting and Darby show up.
Sting, brother. You're supposed to retire in 3 months. Newsflash, you ain't getting out of this.
Yeah.
Ain't getting out of this. You're stuck with the Jericho thing for at least 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No.
At which point, he will be begging Tony Khan to book him against Goldberg so Goldberg can force him into retirement and put him out of his misery.
Yeah, no, I do believe that Sting will of course, put over the youth when he gives the rub to Chris Jericho in his last match.
Oh boy. Put over the youth. Well, you know what? It's a good thing that he's not facing Goldberg because Goldberg might actually euthanize him.
That's true.
Were the case. Wasn't Darby supposed to be gone for a trip, like scouting the Mount Everest gimmick?
Yeah,
right?
He was trying to get all the Sherpas together so he can go up to Mount Everest. I thought that was what we were doing, but I guess not.
I did too. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what this means.
Is it some kind of Harry Potter thing? I don't know what a Horcrux is. Is that what it is?
I don't have a clue. I don't care about
that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't.
We got a lot of super chats about it.
I've heard the phrase, but I don't know what it is.
Joe O'Toole says Jericho setting him up to be Sting's opponent. I would be shocked. I would be shocked.
I would be shocked. Daniel Garcia, anybody except for Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Misfit said Daniel Garcia's reaction on Twitter. That's all. It was like an eye roll emoji. Brandon Charles Powell said, the moment Sammy came out, I was like, oh no, this is how they pivot with the Omega injury. Yeah, it's clearly going to be less sex gods. I was thinking, you know, maybe they the Jet Lovers or something like that with Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
But. You know,
there
that
we go.
One makes
See,
sense.
A Horcrux was an object in which a dark wizard or witch had hidden a detached fragment of his or her soul in order to become immortal. That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy.
Harry Potter and the Omelet of Stone. Sound an ass. Chi-Town Spurs says, Don Callis family is like the Brooklyn Big Nets 3 coached by Steve Nash. A sum far worse than its parts. I mean, yeah, how many NBA teams have you seen absolutely gut themselves future draft picks to go to have like a 550 winning percentage and barely get into the playoffs? It happens far too often.
This is the thing. I firmly believe, I have no idea why we're not just having Fletcher, Takeshita, and Will Hobbs in the trios division squash the Acclaimed and take over that whole thing. Like, we are three of the best talents in AEW and in the entire world. Come at us, bros. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not that they're not great. It's that they're not being booked to do anything worthwhile at all. Book them. They're three really great talents. Book them in the trios division. I mean, solved. Like, you could do other things with them too, but that is just a very easy remedial thing to do right now. But yeah.
We've got Vicky saying Sting and Darby to rescue Jericho. I'm confused. Love that they are in the pay-per-view. Why, with Cal, wish Callis wasn't involved. I smell Sting getting screwed here. SRS. Have they officially announced? Yeah, they have. It is Sammy, Jericho, Darby, and Sting against Fletcher, Hobbs, Big Bill, and Ricky Starks. So no tag title match, but listen, I'm with you, Vicky. I'm glad Sting's wrestling. I'm glad he's on the show. That's why I'll care about this match. Because I want to see Hobbs and Big Bill sell for Sting. I want to see Ricky and Sting. I want to see that. I am just going to enjoy the last few months I have of watching Sting.
Jericho pinning Ricky Starks in a non-title 8-man tag is definitely what we're getting out of this match, though. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Tyrone Kidd says, well, it's the big Sammy. What?
Because Big Show is the one who turns so often. Now,
okay.
He's replaced Big Show with a guy who turns as often.
Here's where it confused me. Sorry, Tyrone, but you put Sammy with an I, not Sammy with a Y.
Okay.
And when I think Sammy with an I, right, my brain instinctively goes to like four other people.
Right.
Ryan says they figured out the perfect way to make Sammy Guevara be loved and cheered for his return. And then, oh no, Jericho. That being said, Sammy Jericho for tag champs feels a lot better than Kenny Jericho. Maybe we're headed for Darby and Sting. I will say that Jericho's character can at least say, I took everything that you said to heart, and
right,
and but, you were right.
Right. Well, no, Jericho hasn't changed at all. But Sammy can say that what he said, there were a lot of people I did not expect to hear from after the birth of my child who called. Don, you did not call. But like, with one of the people he didn't expect to hear from because he turned on him was Jericho, who called and said, listen, kid, I'm sorry about everything. I just wanted to make sure you and the wife and the kid were doing all right. I send you my love, kind of a thing. If maybe that was enough to get Sammy back on Jericho's side, but who knows?
And then he says, so I can job your kid out in 20 years.
That's right.
As he hangs up the phone.
Jericho's retirement match at 70 whatever against Sammy Guevara's kid.
So the funny thing is, like, I've talked to Lance Storm about this before because they started together, right? They had their first match against each other. And they have long said they would have their last match together.
Right.
And Lance is like, it's getting really old at this point. JP says maybe Sting's last match is Darby, although Darby wearing Ultimate Warrior's long jacket from his WCW run.
That was odd.
It was odd. Yeah. I was like, who is that? Oh, okay. I think that Sting teams with Darby all the way through. I think that he was real in what he told Seahawk and that he wanted to do tag stuff.
Yeah.
Ryan says it feels like the third time is the third time that Sammy is turned, just because someone he's in a team with was a bit of a dick to him, not because any changes in actual character. And I get it was a change of plans because Kenny's out, but Jericho again is meh. Like, I do kind of like the idea that Sammy, if just forevermore, gets like a whiff of bad vibes. Yeah. He's like, to hell with this.
Yeah, I know.
Sammy's all about the vibes, man. And if they're wrong a little bit, if they're off a little bit, he will face you in a match. Yeah. He will face you in a match. Lexi Nair interviews Christian and Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland no-shows it for a while, but then Adam Copeland attacks. I asked and don't know this, but I straight up asked somebody, did y'all film this week or last week? Because Brian Keith is there.
Brian Keith was there.
And other fellows in cowboy hats are there.
Yep. Yes.
And I'm like,
they filmed it last week.
So they probably, I assume, filmed it last week.
Right.
But if not, I'm like, hell yeah, they're bringing Brian Keith on the road, buddy.
Yeah, Brian Keith on the road.
I love this guy.
The Von Erich kids are on the road.
Yeah, that's... the Von Erich kids are on the road.
Nice.
And they very clearly filmed this.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, they very clearly.
The Von Erichs and Brian Keith.
Yeah.
There's a trio. I want to see those guys as the trio, the bounty hunters. I like it.
Brian Von Erich, they can call him that. He can.
Yes, he's an honorary brother of the.
Yes, there you go. But, you know, the Shannon Wayne stuff is not for me whatsoever. Not for me. It just ain't doing it. I'm sure she's a nice woman. The Outcast interview. So I had heard some murmurs that Haley Cameron might be involved with Soraya, which honestly, I don't hate that. I don't hate it at all because she's got nothing to do because of QTV being long gone now.
Right.
Ruby is going to hang out with Angelo Parker, which I'm so glad this is the thing. I am utterly confused as to why Harley pulls a butcher's knife out.
I don't. Yeah. And it's like, show Renee what we mean, says Soraya. And she pulls out a butcher knife. And Soraya's like, oh, no, not that. That's for later. Bye.
Did I say something besides Harley Cameron? What did I say?
Did you say Haley Cameron?
I meant to say Harley. There you go.
I don't. Yeah.
People are correcting me.
Sure.
But this is fine. This is fine. Yeah. Miro challenges Andrade for World's End. I mean, this obviously they had to slow this down a little bit because Lana got a near life-threatening infection that almost took her arm.
Yes.
A CJ Perry, rather. Very glad that she's healing up, by the way. Happened from a splinter that she got while at work. Very glad she's okay. I wish this would have progressed a little bit quicker, but I do kind of like the story where Miro is like, no, I don't want you to manage me. And then he just beats the living shit out of everybody that she tries to manage until there's a guy that he just can't throw around at will, like Andrade.
Yeah. I first of all, yes, it was a splinter. When I first saw the infection, I was like, did she cut her finger on a rusty knife she got out of an open sewer that had also been possessed by the devil? That was the most like crazy infection I've ever seen. I'm happy she's okay. I do believe you're right that they would have done more with this to build it up because CJ is such a vital part of the angle that with her out of work, all you can do is have Miro sitting backwards on a folding chair like he's A.C. Slater in Saved by the Bell and cutting promos where he's like, I don't pray anymore, but you should start. Like, hey, cool. Great. I love Miro's promos. Him versus Andrade is going to be great. I am about to say something that I know from experience may not be true, but this has got to be like the beginning of a several match feud, right?
I would imagine, yeah.
Because I also thought we were going to get that out of Miro and Hobbs. And I also thought we were going to get that out of Miro and Malakai Black. And I they do that a lot with Miro. So I'm hoping is the start of something. And that's why the build of this first match hasn't been stellar. But maybe a build between a first match and a second match can kind of pick up the slack.
I mean, Miro has had 10 matches in 2 years.
Yeah.
That, I mean, 10 matches in 2 years has been in the ring for probably less than an hour.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
It's time. Also, the Bet Online AG odds for World's End, the closest match line right now. Adam Copeland is a -155 favorite in the TNT title match against Christian Cage, a +115. So, because, I mean, wrestling is predetermined, usually these odds are like, for example, Tony Storm -5,000.
Right.
Against Riho +1,000. Those lines don't happen in real fighting. It just that shows you how, at least up in the air, the Adam Copeland Christian Cage match is.
I don't see Adam Edge Cope winning that thing, because like when you are facing a guy who has shown that he has no compunction about cheating, and you've requested a no disqualification match, and we know that he's got his surrogate son Nicholas Cage Wayne, who's there, who will hit you with a title belt or a chair or whatever. We know that Mother Wayne is there. She has no compunction about hitting you with a title belt. Luchasaurus could show up. Hell, Jack Perry could show up and join the family as well. Like, I feel like Adam is walking into something here that he probably doesn't realize what's going on.
We had Roddy Strong's conspiracy board. He is for sure one of the guys under that mask.
He's one of them. Yeah, I do. I think so. Yeah.
Renee Paquette speaks with Mariah May. She will make her in-ring debut next week. Ryan says, it's all about Eve. No, it's all about Mariah. Mariah with a chance to show off on the mic. World and TBS title matches both set up. Statlander with a clear path ahead. Loving where the women are at right now. Who do you think Mariah's first opponent is? Somebody where she can have a showcase. It wouldn't shock me to see like a squash match in that sense. I just think it'll be just somebody that she can beat pretty easily. But they did do a lot of setting up for the women. I'm very glad they gave Mariah May mic time tonight as well.
Yeah. Her being run off by Riho, maybe that's what comes out of this. Maybe not with the first match, but like Mariah May costing Riho the match versus Tony. And then Riho insinuates herself into Mariah May's business after Mariah May squashes whatever she's going to do next week. And then we're going to get that thing out of this. That wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. So I was liking the progression there. Honestly, I've liked the direction of the AEW women since a couple of collisions ago where they finally did two matches. So optimistic, cautiously optimistic there. But we also had a pretty good match between Sky Blue and Chris Statlander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Orion Benn says, I miss Stokely on Dynamite, comedy gold. He had a very funny line about his, I think it was his cousin at AutoZone.
My cousin Leon twisted his ankle working at AutoZone. You know how long he's been out? 5 years, still collecting them checks. But Statlander shreds her knee ligaments. She's back inside of a year.
So, the finish of this goddamn match was so good. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that. I thought that Sky Blue was going to lose this match. I really did. Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though it was Julia Hart, you know, costing her the match, still an Avalanche Code Blue looked filthy.
It really did.
Oh, it looked so good. It looked so goddamn good.
Yeah.
It's worked with Sky Blue. She's featured. Yeah. She has developed from not just an enhancement talent, Alex, but we're going to book this girl because we're in Chicago. Hey, mm-hmm. she gets a good reaction. Let's put her in the battle royal mm-hmm. to a key figure in this division, mm-hmm. working with one of the most over talent in the division. Really good. Now, one thing I did notice, Taz specifying, she's not in the House of Black. I feel like that was a direct thing from Tony, in my opinion, because I was told quite a while back that this pairing was supposed to happen, but it got nixed along the way because they didn't want her in the House of Black officially. Well, she's not, but the pairing is working out. I think that Sky Blue has worked out really well in this role.
I mean, Julia's still, I think, firmly within that thing. And she's just, you know, now she's decided to join forces with Julia Hart. I think it works well. Abaddon coming out was good. Willow, if there's ever a baby face getting beaten down, Willow activates and sprints to the ring.
It's a great reaction every time, too. That music.
Absolutely.
That music is so pop inducing.
Like, it's great. And and look at all the women who were on the show tonight. Even if there was only the one real match, Like, we only got one match, but we got all these women who are now beginning these storylines here. I love also Toni Storm getting involved with Rio and just over and over again. How dare you? She's screaming.
Full Rocco's Modern Lifestyle. Love yes.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Julia Hart, according to BetOnline AG, a minus 5,000 favorite.
Yeah.
Over Abaddon, a plus 1,000. We're going to tell you a little bit more about BetOnline AG right now. BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly. BetOnline AG. We love it. Chi-Town Spurs says Chris deserves more buzz for Women's Wrestler of the Year. Hasn't had a bad match since returning. Nominations are just closing on Fightful Select for our Fightful Awards. That awards voting will take place next week on Fightful Select. So if you want to vote, go subscribe, FightfulSelect.com, just $5 a month, $54 a year. Chris Statlander is among the nominees. Tom LaValle says, no matter what the web says about AEW for 5 hours a week, it's always great. We may not have gotten two women's matches, but the segments were all over the show and very strong. The Avalanche Code Blue ruled. Stat is so great. Of all the cool shit I saw on AEW tonight, I think that Avalanche Code Blue was my favorite individual move that I saw.
Yeah.
Ryan says, possibly a hot take. I didn't like the Gold League three-way as a Continental Classic match. It was an excellent match in itself, but the chair spots were far too breaking of the rules of the CC and not in the spirit of the tourney. So I disagree with that because when it's a triple threat, it has to be no DQ. Unless you are saying under the Continental Classic rules, well, if you do that, you are eliminated from the match. They could very well do that and get away with it, but you also can't just DQ somebody and leave someone out of the equation that way.
Right.
I do understand the frustration though.
Definitely. There has to be a winner. It could be one of those things of like, not only you are eliminated, the match becomes a one-on-one and you're suspended for 1 month without pay. Like, you could lay down the law ahead of time, which then means that gives you the right to book somebody without you. But Jay White's been cheating through this entire tournament just while the ref's back was turned. Now he gets to do it while the ref is staring him dead in the face because it's a triple threat match, and that's what happens in triple threat matches, or at least it can. I thought that they handled it really well because it wasn't like all of them were doing it, just Jay, who it's been established has been a cheating ass son of a bitch this entire tournament.
Glassdoor Gamer says attendance has been up lately. More promotion to, and Knock Bogan says nothing against Raphael Morphy, but wasn't local promotion like non-existent outside of advertising dates on TV. Maybe with someone new, they can work on promotion. I can tell you that WWE Raw is coming to Lexington in a couple of months. And for the last 3 weeks on all WWE programming locally, it is all over the place with the where you at ads and all that. I think that they could really zero in on the individualized promos. Like, if you've got talent that aren't doing a lot, have them film some town promos and things like that. I love what a whole lot of talent are doing on this holiday loop for WWE. They are listing the dates that they will be on them. And now it's picking up with independent wrestlers. Like, I saw Matt Cardona list all his January dates. That's just smart. Tell people where you're going to be. You never know who that might attract.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs says, wasn't Anna Jay involved in this? Guess she's replaced by Harley. I like Harley in this spot because I honestly want to see Anna Jay with Jack Perry when he comes back. I think there's a lot of heat to be had there. Right. Oh, there's a lot of heat to be had with Jack Perry.
Sure.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Luke Jagger says this will be the first pay-per-view without the Elite, man, in any capacity as of right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? It'll be a fine pay-per-view.
Yeah, there'll be some really good stuff comes out of it.
Jamal says, I'm shocked they're not doing FTR versus House of Black at the pay-per-view. Me too.
It's like something they could announce during Rampage or something.
For sure.
Yeah.
They are doing, however, MJF versus Samoa Joe. The current odds on BetOnline AG have MJF as a -200 favorite. I disagree with those odds. I think those will shift in the next day. And I think Samoa Joe will move into the favorite. He is a +150 underdog. And MJF is no longer an ROH tag team champion. The Devil Men beat MJF after Samoa Joe is shown attacked backstage. So my big concern with this was, well, MJF's got to try to unmask them regardless. And he does throughout the whole
match. He's obsessed with it. He's not even trying to wrestle them. He's just trying to take their masks off.
And that makes sense because in that situation, yeah, you want to retain your titles, of course. But you want to find out who these sons of bitches are. So I thought that made a lot of sense. I know MJF is seriously hurting right now. Like, he's really banged up. I don't know the severity of shoulder, knee, all that stuff. I don't know. I just know he's hurting. He's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was like in my head, I was like, I know this guy a little bit on a personal level.
Yeah.
I know that motherfucker's going to work before the pay-per-view when he probably shouldn't be cleared to work the pay-per-view.
Right. Yeah.
And even though it was short, he was still out there doing it.
Yep.
Still out there doing it. And I just hope the dude is okay physically because it wouldn't shock me if he wasn't around for a while after all this. He's going to have to get fixed up.
Yeah.
The Devil Men win the titles. And Samoa Joe comes out. And by the way, they won because one of the masked men popped out from under the ring with a pipe, clocks in MJF.
Shoulder right there. Yep.
One of the other masked men do his hit, one of his signature move, the Heat Seeker.
Mm-hmm.
And they pin him.
With the feet on the ropes.
With the foot on the ropes. So heavy protection here for what I assume is Taven and Bennett or O'Reilly and Strong or or some combination of these people.
If it was O'Reilly under those things, he did a fantastic job of tampering down his O'Reilliness in this match, which I would commend him on.
And I would believe he's capable of.
Absolutely.
And also, I would fully believe that he would make his return to wrestling after over a year.
He would do that.
He's hilarious. He's a hilarious dude.
Yeah.
The aftermath, I'm excited to see how people think about this. James Zimmerman says, well, that escalated quickly. Fear and Loathing in NYC said, Joe in cahoots with Enzo, the AEW devil. Chris Levi says, love Fightful and all you guys do for wrestling and us people. Well, thank you so much, Chris. He says, the ending was crazy. Will be wild if the devil was Adam and the masked men was the kingdom who Joe was working with. Pay-per-view looks great. So I mentioned my top eight, and I've mentioned, I think it's, you know, some eight of Cole, Britt, O'Reilly, even Fish, just because of his association, Taven, Bennett, maybe Wardlow, maybe. But if I had to throw in a couple more, Jack Perry or Tony Khan or something like that, just to throw in some crazy ass shit, just throw in some off the wall shit. It says, pleasure doing business with you on the screen. And then Joe hits him with a chair. How are you feeling about it?
Listen, my timeline was just shitting all over this. I loved it. I will say the one thing I did not love was that the foot on the ropes thing was done to protect MJF. But after the Heat Seeker and the pipe shot, he was unconscious. The foot on the ropes was did not look good because the guy was too far away from the ropes. So he had to like scramble to put his feet back up on there. I didn't think he needed it. I love them doing the Heatseeker, doing MJF's move to him, his old heel move that he would do to get heat, because that's part of this thing has been to like expose MJF, like get like make everybody hate him again or whatever, or that part of it has certainly been one of the through lines of this thing, framing everybody else. Maybe it's a MJF was part of this, but Samoa Joe sold the hell out of being attacked backstage, was great. Him hobbling to the ring with the chair, running off the devil men, and then the devil up on the screen with Samoa Joe standing behind MJF, pleasure doing business with you, and the moment where Samoa Joe does, because you could almost see what's the sweet tooth mask. You could almost see that on his, because he did a lot of really great just physical work, because it wasn't his voice in that show. He did a lot of physical acting work, and that training has paid off, because that one moment of this to that sold me a ticket, man. That was great. And then hits him with the chair. Puts him in the muscle buster and says, this is also a thing Samoa Joe said, and I can't remember who it was he said it to in NXT. I did this to you. That's a thing he used to do all the time. I love that. And he does it. So that's great. And Samoa Joe, not part of the Devils, but certainly willing to work with them to achieve his own ends, which is, and the whole thing is like, but why would you say you were protecting him if you were just going to do this in the end? Because that's part of the mind games. Welcome to Samoa Joe. Like, this is some really good stuff. Samoa Joe, I think the old, like, why would you do this to your world champion? Have him get pinned in 2 minutes by two faceless dudes. Well, it was him. Remember, he's been doing this thing for months now, playing the baby face. He doesn't have to have the match one on two, but he insists on it. And they know he will because of this thing he's been doing all the babyface tropes. So he gets himself into this thing where he's sure to lose. And he's for justice, I must unmask these assailants, instead of trying to land, you know, a wrestling move on them. He leads himself down the primrose path to a sure loss. And also, he's really injured. He's not winning the title. He's not retaining the title on Saturday because he's injured. They can't have him wrestle a full 15-minute match. He did a spot. That was it. And they're moving on.
He's beat shit.
He's beat the
man
to
is
shit.
Beat to shit.
I don't know how long this match with Samoa Joe is going to be on Saturday, but I think this attack, and then from both the Devil guys and from Samoa Joe, is meant to fully hurt him even more, so he's going into the match even kayfabe more beat up, which allows Samoa Joe to pick the bones. And after Samoa Joe does, I think that's when you see the Devils all surround the ring and they all take off their masks, and that's how we leave World's End.
I think the reveal is this week. I think it's gotta be this week.
Laid low a new world champion who it's been revealed was working with the guys who've been targeting MJF now for months, and then they all reveal who they are, and that's how we go into the new year.
So I have never gotten this question answered. If it is Adam Cole, I wonder if this was all a pivot from him getting hurt.
Yes, I do think so too.
And if it's not, interesting. I know that this type of thing isn't going to be for a lot of people, and I understand because I see a lot of people complaining about it too. And there were aspects of it that I certainly would have adjusted and changed, especially along the way. But I didn't like dislike it or anything. I thought it was all right. I thought it was okay. And obviously, they had to work around Adam Cole being hurt and MJF.
And then MJF getting hurt
to shit.
Yeah.
TT says, any chance Sammy is the devil? One of the pillars knocking out MJF out of action. That would change my opinion on things significantly. And I would not like it.
No, I don't. Zach, it doesn't make a sense slot. Yeah. So
Hammerstone, top tier trolling, posted a picture of the two devils standing over MJF and said, been too long since the three of us got a picture together, implying that he and Richard Holiday are the devils.
Great.
I mean, right. You want to talk about a couple of free agents on the market, Hammerstone and Holiday. Yeah. I don't, if I were WWE, I'd be signing them as a tag team and putting them on, you know, Raw or SmackDown ASAP. I think they're incredible together. Dong Phallus says, the disparity between the C2 AEW and the MJF Devil AEW has never felt greater. Boy, that's the truth. Although, you know, when they did that goofy ass Dark Order spooky storyline thing, that one was pretty far from you know, what we had been watching. So I can only hope the C2 is more indicative of AEW's future, and Adam Cole's injury threw a huge wrench into TK's initial booking here. So that's the thing. Like, I think that a lot of the MJF stuff is sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And I don't think that MJF necessarily has to lean on that, because he's a phenomenal wrestler.
Sure. I mean, MJF in the 2024 C2, please.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is that what I love about AEW is it does both. Like, it's always had things that are more showy, sports entertainment-y as part of it. But some of the stuff they do that sports entertainment-y is not for me. This feels like it's actually been well thought out, well put together. The whole one episode arc of, could Hangman Page be the devil? Like, that whole thing that then, like, that was really good. Like, they've been doing a lot of great ways of throwing in red herrings and all this kind of stuff. I think this is a really well-told sports entertainment story. And at the same time, on the same show, you get some real wrestling. And that's great. Yeah. We get to see both. That's what I like about it.
Knocked Bogan says, this is why I like Fightful. You can send in a cut-up super chat due to character limits. And Luis and SRS make sense of it. Good work, gents and ladies. The reason that they have character limits is based on the amount that you donate, just so that's you true. Know. But yeah. We still try our best. We got Zach saying, feel like I'm the only one enjoying the devil angle. Just hope Joe gets the title so MJF can recover. Cole suggesting Samoa Joe being the replacement from the start makes this angle a whole lot more intriguing, says Luis.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. That's from the very beginning. Adam Cole was the guy who says, you should trust Samoa Joe. Adam Cole told MJF on screen, you should trust Samoa Joe. I mean, come on. It's right there.
And also, Crispy Chris says, isn't kayfabe MJF's contract up Monday? The business line makes me think Tony screwing MJF as Joe sold his soul to the devil tonight. That is one where I have been told that it isn't supposed to be Tony, but listen, if Tony and Max are the only ones talking about this, right?
Yeah.
And he says, and then we'll reveal it as me. Because AEW almost never mentions the contract thing.
No, they
and
don't.
I believe MJF is signed. I really do. But I'll tell you where MJF is very smart about it, as always. He doesn't tell anybody that he is. Nope. Nobody in the company, none of his friends, none of his family that I'm aware of. And if you were in kayfabe, your deal was up Monday, and you had to get a bunch of titles off of a guy, seems like a prime way to do it.
Yeah.
Wrapping up, guys, we got our super chats, humper chats. Get those last ones in. Ryan says the devil match was just wow. Maybe Joe has been double-crossing Max the entire time with the I want you perfectly healthy. But this entire segment felt weird considering MJF has defended the ROH belt in a handicap match. Well, yeah, but he didn't get hit in the head with a pipe and pinned with his foot on the ropes. Hmm. But also, Joe wanted him healthy, but he lied. He didn't want him healthy. He wanted an MJF hit with a pipe, hit with a heat seeker, demoralized, and hit with a chair. He wanted, that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
He lied.
Samoa Joe. Come on, it's Samoa Joe. Yeah.
Ryan says, after this go-home show, I think they should have the CC final main event over the MJF devil angle, especially if MJF is actually injured. I think a peak wrestling match with hopefully hometown Eddie overcoming the odds should end the night. Listen, no matter, Eddie is somewhat hometown there. MJF. Yeah. Is hometown.
Yeah. MJF being laid as low as he will ever go in his hometown to get that. They're gonna squash the baby face in his hometown to get the heat.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that he's over everywhere as a baby face. So that heat will absolutely travel to wherever he shows up the next time. It's honestly, it's perfect.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. We greatly appreciate it. Also, I feel like MJF is going to, regardless of if he's beat to shit or not, he's going to do everything he can.
Yes.
If he's, say he's got to have surgery, and I don't know that he does. But if he does, he's going to be like, got to get it fixed anyway.
I mean, so, this is honestly, considering who his mentor is, this could be his Cody with a torn pec in the Hell in a Cell match. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Knock says, yeah, fair enough. And then Brandon wraps us up, says, okay, I'm convinced it's Adam Cole until I change my mind next week. I think they have the reveal. I think they reveal this week. I don't think they carry this into 2024. But we carry into 2024. We got a lot of great new content coming for you guys, but please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Royal Rumble season coming up. We're going to have an awful lot of stuff on Fightful Select there. Also, it's contract season, and we have had stuff every day. Deonna Purrazzo, Camille, El Fantasmo, all kinds of stuff here on the docket. Alex, what do you got?
Normally we do the Monday Night Raw Select Show. That, of course, wouldn't happen this week, but it'll start next week with the Day One special. NXT is always on Tuesdays. Friday we normally do SmackDown review, but there's no SmackDown this week on Fightful Select. We'll be doing a World's End review on Saturday, but considering that there's no SmackDown review on Fightful Select for Sour Graps, Kate and I are starting a brand new spin-off show called This Is Cinema? ? Where we review movies and TV shows starring wrestlers. And the pilot episode of this, we've decided it's going to be broadcast on Friday after SmackDown. We will be reviewing the two movies made by Chris Jericho this fall for the Up Faith and Family Network called Country Hearts and Country Hearts Christmas. We'll be reviewing those movies to start out our This Is Cinema new show on Fightful Select.
We have a few more super chats, humper chats that were missed. I cannot pronounce this. Kitiara says, did you see the and new graphic on the AEW Twitter for the tag match? They made the D in masked way too long. It's hard to even tell it's a D. Let me look. I didn't see that, but I'll check it out. Ryan says, I work in the concert merch industry, and I agree with Sean. Only heard good things as Dana as a person, but the merch department should be headed by someone who is an industry professional. Hope the best for her and them. And me too. And let me tell you, that family is going to be doing fine. Going to be doing fine. Yeah, I see. The D is so disproportionate and weird there.
Yeah, mass.
Man. I'm gonna pull it up here for you guys.
Men.
It's very unusual.
That is weird.
What happened there?
I don't know. I don't know why he would do that.
Damn. By the way, we're gonna have new merch coming to Fightful. Shop.fightful. The D was in fact too long. Oh boy, I'm stealing that. I just want you to know. But here it is. Look at that long D.
Mask.
That long D.
Long D.
Bizarro Big L says, working under the guess that Adam is the devil and the kingdom, Roddy and Kyle are the minions. But what about Jack Perry joining Christian? Saves MJF because he pushed him to change and get an edge. Jack may play better as a tweener like MJF. So I think that upon Jack Perry's return, you should see what the audience or how they react. And he should be a solo act. You do not emerge out of a controversy like what he's involved in, having people care or like him, dislike him, whatever, just to pair him up and be somebody's second banana. I think you got to capitalize off of it. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.